The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Well, it's a special opportunity and privilege for me to have this chance of this time with you today, and we pray that the Lord is blessing us as we gather. And as Father Bob has said, this kind of struggle to be people of God in a world that is made by man. We've come through a tough year, this last year and a half, and a lot has happened, and a lot has shaken us. We had the pandemic that killed over half a million Americans, not to mention the people around the world. We've had the heroes who have been on the front of things, working in hospitals and caring for those who are suffering and dying. We had a contentious election, which still is painful when you look at the difficulties that people were struggling with, and the eruption of an attack on our capital in Washington, D.C. I used to live and work in the shadow of that building, and the images from January 6th, the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord, still haunt me. And we've had those demonstrations that have reminded us we live in a world that has a long ways to go in taking care of our people. So we come what is our response as Christians? Those of us who have been in the Episcopal Church's special study called Sacred Ground are aware of some of the history that's painful to look at. History that we, most of us at least, I think, were never taught. But the church says, look deeper, because we human beings have those things that we need to be addressing. We cannot confess, repent, and be right with the Lord unless we admit who we are and where we've come from and are ready to make the changes that are needed. Some of you may remember Peter Marshall, a Christian writer and preacher who was influential, certainly in my, I'm not sure what we're getting with that noise, but we have his legacy, and he certainly had an influence on me. And he said, "May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right." To do what is right. Well, looking at what do? I consider myself an enthusiastic patriot, especially because having served in the United States Marine Corps, I was really enmeshed in this national pride in the service, pride and a service in terms of really living out our call to God and country. And certainly scouts know something about God and country. I get emotional when I hear John Philip Sousa. Those marches just get me stirred up. And for me, it's not the 4th of July until I've heard Stars and Stripes Forever. And so I look around my house and I say, what can I do to honor 4th of July and what blessings we have in this country? And I get out the red, white, and blue, put it up on Memorial Day and leave it up through July. But we know on this weekend of commemorating our nation's independence, what is important is not the fireworks and the barbecues and the parades, and I've ridden in a lot of those parades, but it's remembering the ideals and values written about so eloquently by our founding fathers. The original document declaring our independence is in the Library of Congress with many notations as the words were worked out with real struggling to say things in the best way they could to establish the foundation for this new country. That a little better? Can you hear me?
Better.
Okay. Well, the words in our Declaration of Independence are grounded in a history of demanding rights and freedom to govern, particularly as the authors were Englishmen, heirs of the Magna Carta, one of the great declarations of independence that preceded, and which rejected a tyrannical king, and the Reformation, which resulted in the Church of England separating from foreign authority. And not surprisingly, the colonists of the New World sought to separate from a monarch overseas. This significant declaration contains the key phrase, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." We like the words, but find them difficult to practice. We find ourselves informed by our faith and commissioned in our baptism to change the world for Christ. Acknowledging, however, we live in two worlds, two kingdoms, one the eternal kingdom of our Creator God, and the other the earthly kingdom of human construction, which may at times be at odds with what we profess. Our psalm today, containing the theme for our scripture lessons, makes several references to the kingdom of God, where compassion leads to satisfying the needs of every living creature. If you look back through the readings, count the times you see the word compassion. It's one of my favorite words in scripture. But we have not historically agreed on what we mean when we say all men, that all men are created equal. As the very writers who penned this noble declaration, we're not really including everyone. Not women, who only got the right to vote over 100 years later. Not people of color. Now, the indigenous, who we are still breaking treaties with more than a century after some of the treaties were written. And those who are arriving here, either under dire circumstances or against their will. You know, I have been told, oh, men is a generic term. It refers to everybody, except I said, wait a minute. There's a door just off the lobby out here that I think says men on it, and it doesn't mean everybody. Byron Rushing, vice president of our Episcopal House of Deputies, a distinguished and brilliant church leader who is also a black man, has for many years reminded Episcopalians that the collect for Independence Day, which was read earlier and you can refer back to in your program, is not accurate. Quote, "The founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us," begs for a definition of the us, which he points out, saying that slavery was forgotten or the us was not meant to include him. The Collect for Independence Day was written by the then Bishop of California, Edward Lamb Parsons, written for the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. It was an attempt by the compilers of the first Book of Common Prayer in the United States, but was withdrawn. This was to correct that which was withdrawn in 1789, because at that time, when our first Episcopal American prayer book was written, this prayer, a prayer for independence, was thought to be too divisive, as a liturgy celebrating the new nation would replace the old obedience to the monarch of England, head of the Anglican Church, and to which many American clergy were loyal. In fact, my husband has been reading recently about Hamilton and discovered that one of our first bishops, Bishop Seabury, stayed a loyalist until finally he was convinced to become a bishop in this new church. And he and Hamilton had some major disagreements. The scripture which was selected for this day of national remembrance is challenging, as it calls us back to the foundation of God's kingdom and the transformation of earthly power and greed that was addressed by Jesus, who was accused of being a king and killed as a threat to the established monarchies of his time. Not only did Jesus announce that in him the kingdom of God was made present, he taught that God's kingdom was not a replacement of earthly governments, but the necessary correction for when people were not treated as God wills for creation. Jesus called us to watch and be aware of our behavior. In Deuteronomy, we as ancient Israel are reminded that God who gave us the land will judge us according to the standards of justice that our political institutions apply, particularly regarding the care of the needy and the stranger, noting that, as was Israel, our nation was started by sojourners. The letter to the Hebrews is a reminder that faithful obedience to God draws us toward our true homeland, a better country, a heavenly one. The biggest challenge in today's readings is the gospel, in which Jesus commands us to love our enemies. Now, this is difficult for us human beings, but it's impossible for nations which seek to maintain their earthly power and wealth even at the expense of others. Jesus states that we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, showing compassion, back to that word compassion, respecting the dignity of all, which is part of our baptismal promise, and praying even for our persecutors. We are God's means of perfecting the world. By holding to what we believe and practicing what we ask every time we say the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In his commentary on the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, Professor Massey Shepherd wrote regarding today's gospel, that it is only through deliberate effort at reconciling differences and helping the less fortunate that our country can lead nations and races to just and lasting peace. One of the stories that caught my attention this past year was a story I saw on television about Maya Moore, a basketball star, an athletic hero, who at the top of her game, giving up her main reason for having lived and the money that she was making, took off for 2 years to to assist in overturning a sentence that had kept a man unjustly held in prison for decades. On her shirt were the words from the prophet Micah, affirming God's desire for us, that we are to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. To live this way is to live in the kingdom of God and to seek his kingdom first. And that's our witness to the world which God made and for which Christ died. It's that which comes from our heart, which comes from being right with God, that says we can help those around us. We can respond to our nation with gratitude for the opportunities we have and to work to change those things that deny the good to others. So today, we give thanks and call on ourselves to be witnesses, witnesses to the world which God made and for which Christ died. May we indeed do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And so we ask to God, bless America, God bless us, everyone. Amen.